Shall we pray? Let's do. Lord, thank you so much again for your presence today. It's always such a joy and a blessing and honor to be in your presence and just connect with you. Lord, I ask that connection will continue through this service, that the worship will continue as we listen. Let us listen with ears and hearts of worship. And God, it is our joy, it is our privilege to offer you every part of us. And so we do that, God. Even those parts we can't unlock ourselves, we just rest in you knowing, Lord, you definitely have your finger on the button and you get to control not only what you develop within us, but how and what timing. And so, Lord, we're just yours. We're your masterpiece and you get to work your goodness in us. So here we are, Lord, open our ears to hear and let the Spirit of God speak through everything that's said in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to just open up really quickly with Psalms 94. We had this verse last week, and I feel like it gives a good connection for where we've been. We're talking about holiness, a very popular subject. But Psalms 94 says that joyful are those you discipline, Lord. You teach with your instructions. You give them relief. Can you say relief? Do you understand the discipline is in order to lead you into the relief? It's not to make your life harder. It's actually for relief, right? Okay. Until a pit is dug to capture the wicked. All right. This is important. Verse 14, the Lord will not reject his people. Sometimes when we feel like we're being disciplined, shaped, and molded into a new level of holiness, we feel like it's tough, punishing, it's lonely, it's dry, it insults our desire to be independent and in control, right? And we just need to plug into verse number 14. The Lord will not reject his people. He hasn't rejected us in that process, and he will not reject you, right? He will not abandon his special possession. Can you say, I'm his special possession? Maybe look at someone next to you and say, you are his special possession. See? Right? Revelation, encounter. I wanted to ask Andrew to share a testimony. This was something he began to share with me on Thursday, and we were sort of processing it out and talked with each other, was it 2 days ago, and confirmed, yeah, this is right for the body, for this time, for this moment. And so here you go.
Well, you threw me right in the pit right to start. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Do you want to front or?
So if you want me to come up, I can sit
well,
here.
Well, maybe for the camera so they don't all have right, to look at the back of your head.
Good.
Yeah. For all the web people.
Yeah. Thanks, Bryn. So I don't know who's in the life group this season around, but it has been a blessing for us to just join another family and do life with them. So we're at the Merlins, and there was a word that I had that I wanted to share at life group, and I didn't really get to elaborate on it because it became kind of a joke and, you know, we kept the conversation going, but I was sharing it with Daryl and he goes, I feel like that's for the body. Is that true? Am I getting that sense? And I said, yeah, I think it is. I think it's for me and it's also for the body. So this vision that I've had over the last like probably 6 weeks is God has been really chiseling me into the image that he is, and there's a lot of in the image he wants me to be. So I was sharing this, and my wife jokingly said, well, if he's chiseling you, can he chisel you a six-pack? In due time, if that's his will, right? But the reason that I keep like coming back to this refinement of like him working on me is I feel like there are just these situations that I fail at and I get into and I go, that's not what you had intended for me. Put me back in that place, God. Give me another chance to work on that. And then I get better. And then again, it comes up again and I try to get better. And every single one of those moments is just a little piece of the rock that he's taking off of me as his image. And I've been just praying on this concept of chiseling and structure and molding, and God just continues to confirm in me and reaffirm that that's for everybody. I'm kind of a history nerd, and I love like learning about the past. And I was like, what is the perfect chiseled structure of a man. And I was researching it. It's Michelangelo's David. And you look at that and it's like just breathtaking, right? That was chiseled with a tools and perfection. And I look at that and I never connected the dots that was David that he was chiseling, that it took that long. And it is a representation of who God is, because that's who David is. And I look at that and I go, God, please chisel me like that. When I look at that monument of a man and who you are, that's who I want to be. So every situation that you pull me through, just keep taking that little piece of rock off to make the smooth edge, to make that nice picture. And I know it will be my lifetime. But that's who I feel like he's working me through this season, is just that it's hard. And there are these situations that are tough and they hurt and they take work, and you're going to bleed and your hands are going to be worn down, but it's all for his image and his purpose and his glory, because that's who he wants you to be. So that was my word for myself, but I really appreciate Daryl saying, you know, I'm encouraging you to share that with the body, because he's chiseling all of us in his image. So thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I would say, for me, I'll continue to pray on it. But if that resonated with you, look in the image in the mirror and say, God, how can I continue to be chiseled in the image you want me to be for you? Where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to pray? Where do you want me to be with you and in the world? And he will find that continued refinement. And this is the hardest one. Enjoy the process, because it's the hard, hard process. But in the end, you will look just like David. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Did I turn it off? Oh, there I did. Go. We're back. I said, thank you for sharing. It takes a level of vulnerability just to stand and to share, right? Amen. So I'm going to kind of jump somewhere near the middle, Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. And this is Paul's prayer to the church. God's inheritance is revealed in us in our holiness, okay? Paul said, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he's called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And what sort of triggered this entire discussion was that I had written down that statement, I want you to understand the incredible greatness of his power, as a chisel. And it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, so it's without limit, right? I mean, is there anything more amazing than pulling that off, raising Christ from the dead? Nope, right? And so the Lord is saying the same application of power that I put in Jesus to raise him, I put inside of you. And if you feel, or if you can actually accept the fact that you are dead and lost, right, and that he's put that spirit in you to wake you up and bring to life all of that in you, right, there's no limit to the power of what he can do in you. And those places where we get stuck, right, we get saved, about 80% of all the junk falls out of our life within a very short time, and then we're stuck with the 20% that we just like feel like we just can't let go of at times, amen? Just me, or do you? Okay, all right. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and did a complete and thorough work in the process will do that in you. It's a guarantee, and it is a chisel. I wrote that down, and I was like, I was about to show, you know, this video. It's called The Chisel. I think I showed it, and when he said chisel, I triggered on that word. I was like, hey, I was thinking about showing that video, and then you reminded me that we showed it less than a year ago, And that's why I was home praying, and I called back Andrew, and I was like, you know what? I think that was not, you weren't confirmation for me Iowa's confirmation, we're supposed to hear you tell us that, that the Lord is chiseling his people, right? And it's important that the artwork stands up every once in a while and says, hey, I'm a work in progress, right? Why did he say, I want your hearts to be flooded with light? Honestly, because we're lost in darkness apart from him. And it takes a Holy Spirit revelation to understand and to actually own the truth. It's more than understanding. It's actually owning that truth that he called us to be holy. Right? That he's given us a confident hope in that. Right? So on one hand, we can say the process is difficult. Yeah. It is. But on the other side, we have to say, I have a confident hope, though, while I'm going through it, that I was called to this. I was made for this. I was designed for holiness, to be brought into the likeness of Jesus, right? And that makes that other thing of, well, it's like working out. It's hard. I don't love it. Yeah, but it makes it so much easier to digest when you own that hope. You know what I mean? I think we get lost when we don't own that confident hope that we were made for holiness. We just say, it's a struggle. And if I don't obey, then he's just going to like smack me, or he's going to make my life more difficult, take something away. He's going to punish me, right? Put the screws down. Wrong church? You ever feel that way? Right? Like he saved me and he's offering me heaven, but you know, there's that line, and it's like, hell doesn't seem that far away. You know what I mean? And an American church is very much painted on this. Hey, would you like to accept Jesus so you don't go to hell? And so that whole time from the moment you meet Christ is kind of like, ooh, I'm on this line, and I'm like one step from, right? And he's saying, I want you to have a confident hope. Like, we've put an end to that whole thing. Like, how about this? Would you like for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life so that he can shape you and mold you and make you like him? That he can take a lost and dead branch and turn it into a branch with purpose and destiny and holiness and goodness? That he can share in all the internal inheritances of Jesus himself, and in doing so, become, see what I underlined, the holy people who are his, God's rich and glorious inheritance. Right? Like, we're not the only ones benefiting here. He's benefiting as, can I say it this way? When we gave our life to Christ, we died to ourselves, right? And when a man or a woman dies, they leave behind a will, and the benefactors receive the benefit of all of that person's life, right? And God is saying, you're dead now. You received Christ. You entered into the death of Christ. So guess who owns the will? Jesus. And he's the benefactor of all that stuff. It's now his. Our life is for him. Just like his life when he died was now ours, right? I would say that was not a fair trade, but it's definitely in our favor. And I'll take it, right? Cool. Sometimes I feel like, you know, the only thing I'm going to leave behind my family is a really messy office and a lot of clutter. Right? Do you feel that way? Maybe not an office, but something else, like a shop or a collection or dust bunnies or, right? And I'm just trying to tell you, is like, the Lord is not just sitting waiting for you to pass to the other side so that you could leave your dust bunnies behind. He's actually actively working now. And when he acquires you in all of eternity, it will be in a place of perfection and refinement. He promises that. You know what I mean? And so what he's helping us do is offer him a life that actually is worship unto him. When we turn over this chiseled life and say, I allowed you to do something to me I didn't even deserve in the first place, but you made me beautiful, and I'm grateful for that. And so here you go. I'm giving you everything, right? Right? I mean, would you want it any other way? Would you want to, here's my broken stuff here. Enjoy that for eternity, Jesus. Stinks a little, right? I don't mean to make it funny, but there's a point to this, right? Like, the entire act, every time you say, I surrender all, and even if you have to do it like every day of the week until you finally believe it, every time you do that, you are declaring an act of worship. I'm turning it over to you so you can make it beautiful for you, right? It's not always so me-focused that it's like, you're making me better. Well, he is, but it's also for him. Now, we benefit too, because in holiness is freedom. It's blessing. Yes? So we do get the blessing of that. There's intimacy, right? I'm going to go to Philippians 1. It's kind of back toward the beginning, Ethan. Sorry, I'm jumping around like I do. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's very flowery language, but here we go. Ready? That word abound in the Greek, it is parousio, and it means to superabound, to be in excess, to excel, to be in abundance, to have more than enough and enough to spare. Right? Okay. So if we could read it again with that, I am praying for you that your love may be that thing, right? This super abounding, abundant, overflowing with more than enough to spare in more and more increasing, ever increasing portions with knowledge and discernment. Knowledge and discernment of what? Of Jesus and who he is in you. Who is living on the inside of you, right? We have no clue the depth of who he is in us, do we? Just me? Right? Like, there's a call, okay? There's an invitation on that line one up there to step into a place where the love of God can abound in more and more and more. So if you've ever been discouraged about this fact that, like, I've tried to be holy, I've tried to give it, the answer is not, well, do better, try harder, right? That's the easy answer, and a lot of times religion will tell you that that's the right answer, but that's not the right answer, okay? It's not just do better, try harder, because if you could do better and you could try harder, you would. So why do we keep banging ourselves up against the head and saying you can when you can't, right? It's to surrender more, surrender more, surrender more. Walk into the love of God. Encounter the love of God. In your brokenness, just, I'm broken. I sinned again, and I'm, you know, go back to the place of the love of God and let that change you. Right? We have to understand and internalize this idea of the love of God. So then we can approve what is excellent, be pure, and be blameless. All right? You never just say, I tried harder, I did more, I tried harder, and one day I just woke up and I was blameless and I was awesome. Who's getting the praise in all of that? Who gets the praise in that testimony? Oh, just like we like it. Right? It's kind of like, hey, I'm here because I failed. Right? I'm in the place I'm standing because I failed my way into this place. I fell into the grace of God, which continued to, though a man, righteous man falls seven times, the Lord will lift him up kind of mode, right? Amen. That's not an excuse to sin, though, and if any pastor tells you, you know, just don't worry about sin in your life, just it's cool, it's good, no, run, okay? That's not the purpose of this discussion. The purpose of the discussion is take your hands off the steering wheel of this process and give it to him. And you stink and get in the passenger seat, buckle up and get out of his way. Amen? And when he says, I'm going left, you don't say, no, we don't go left. I don't like that side of the town. We're going left. Right? Could you please pull into the Dunkin' Donuts? No. Right? Could you pull into the liquor store? No. Oh, man. Are we having fun? No? Survey, what could we do better? Or is it just that I touched the liquor button? Is that it? Maybe. Okay, we're doing it. We're doing it. Okay, here we go. I don't have a slide for this. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. All right, are you ready to get in the passenger seat and buckle up? This is probably my fault, but it's your fault too. So you know the scripture, because we're talking about alcohol, I'm just going to do it, okay? And I'm not the kind of prude who doesn't drink, okay? I'm cool with drinking. I like it. It's cool. I think it's proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. I think that's Benjamin Franklin, right? As long as we're quoting all the greats. But then Paul, in Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, don't be drunk with wine, or let's just say alcohol, right? Because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Amen. All right. Now, my translation says, because that will ruin your life. King James says, because therein is excess, right? And the actual word in the Greek, it's asotreia, okay? I probably said it like Portuguese again, Portuguese going on here. Asotreia, okay? And it's a, in any time in the Greek you see that, it means the opposite of. Like if I have something that's typical and atypical, atypical means it's the opposite of typical, right? Synchronous and asynchronous, right? Okay, sotreia is actually the root word that actually is sozo. Do you understand what sozo is? We talk about that a lot in service. It's the life of God within us. It's the wholeness of God that rolls out spirit, soul, and body and makes us the life of God whole, right? Okay. Can we put those two things, concepts, together? A, which is opposite of sozo or sotreia, which is the life of God in us. And what he's saying is, I don't want you to live a lifestyle of being drunk, because therein is the opposite of the life that I have for you, wholeness in spirit, soul, and body in you. Can I sit down for a second? Right? Because we're all struggling with these things. Do you think it's just limited to that? I think there's things that people run to. I run to. Do you run to find peace or to find wholeness or to find fill a gap, right? Right? And maybe you can be proud it's not alcohol for you, but then check your Amazon account and see if you've spent too much lately. Okay. All right, I'm not trying to pick on it, right? It's one person's not a problem for another. Like, some people are great. I don't smoke, chew, or go with girls who do. But, you know, gossip is my thing. Right? Check your gossip out, or check your, right? Could we see your Netflix history, please? Right? It's idols. It's just stuff, right? And one person's idol doesn't make another person better. And you're like, yes, it does. Well, you know what? Are you exactly where you want to be on your scale? Right? I mean, gluttony's on the same section of scripture as other things, right? Okay, I'm not trying to pick on it. So please, I hope I covered the gamut enough to have offended everybody. Okay. The point here is that the Holy Spirit wants us to be filled with him. And I don't have it on this. Oh, you put it up. Look at that. Filled with the Holy Spirit. My translation finishes out three words that aren't on your translation after the comma that says, and control you. And control you. Like we're literally saying, Holy Spirit, put me on like a glove. Does the glove get to say which fingers move, which ones don't, what picks up, what it drops? All the control is in the hand who's driving, right? And I see why you chop those three words off, because you don't like being out of control. You tried to sell us a partial scripture. Oh, man, so Holy Spirit, I'm going to just stop right here. I don't want to own condemnation. I don't want anybody in this place to feel condemned for running to things that are not of you. I just want all of us to recognize, to mark it as not of God, and then, Lord, to begin to pursue the life of God that is available through the Holy Spirit and giving you control. In Jesus' name, And so my challenge has been, there's the things that I run to. I put a piece of paper where I wrote Acetrea on, the life of God, and right, and things that are not of him. And I put, let the Holy Spirit control, and right, and then I tape it over that thing. So if I want to do that thing, right, and it's not wrong, it's just in excess for if we're not careful, I have to deal with excess and whether or not I've surrendered that thing to the Holy Spirit, and am I experiencing the life of God, or am I just running to it? Okay? And now I'm not talking about like full-on sin, right? I'm not, right? Not, I don't put a Sotreya sticker and decide if I should cheat on my wife or not, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain things in life that we just don't discuss, like, we don't compromise, and right? But is that okay to drink? Is that okay to watch? Is that okay to do? Is that okay to say, right? And I'm starting to just no longer try harder, do better. I'm sticking a reminder. Am I surrendering to the control of the Holy Spirit? And is he the one who's filling me, or is that thing the thing that's filling me? And when I make that recognition, then I have to ask myself, do I desire the life of God in me more than that thing I want right now that my flesh is craving? Cool? And then you get to have that conversation with the Lord when he says, oh, you're lying to yourself. And all that goodness starts to bubble up and get dug out, okay? And again, it's not about you doing anything, because if you just said, well, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Yeah, bull. You'll have a weak moment. She'll say something to tick you off. Someone will pull out in front of you. Your boss will say something rude. Before long, you're going back to that place of comfort, trying to fill the hole that you just can't fill. Dang, it got quiet. My suggestion to you today is, remember this verse, remember this concept. Like I said, write it down, stick it on there, and ask the Lord to lead conversations before you drink from the wrong well. Does that make sense? Are you convicted? Am I just wasting my time, or do you think you'll enter into a deeper holiness? Okay, I will then, just because you told me to.
Can you say the word again,
though? Which one? Yeah, Acetrea, yep, okay. And if I'm mispronouncing it, it's just because I'm white. Can we go back to Philippians 1:9 again? Yes. It's my prayer that your in that scripture is to the Philippian church. It's not to a single person. Okay? And so my reminder for calling that out is that this is not a personal endeavor. Okay? When you hear a preacher inviting people to Christ, they say, would you come and invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Yeah, there's some context in there that's accurate, but don't be misled. Jesus is not your, like, only you and him personal, and no one else has any connection to you and yours. Christianity, right? Matter of fact, he's put us all in a big body together, or else the moment you got saved, you just go home and be done. You wouldn't connect like this, right? So we have to walk into holiness together. It's not just I'm dealing with my stuff and you deal with your stuff, and we don't talk about it because there's shame and we might judge each other. And if someone really knew what we were really like on the inside, they wouldn't want us around. It's none of that. Like, all shame on the table. Boom. Look at that. Ain't it ugly? Yep. Think I should stop? Yep. Right? It's time that we, like, start living this out together. Call stuff into the light and it loses its power. Yes? Okay, your heads are nodding. I'm going to take some video and remind you. You were nodding. You agreed. It's time for the church to be open and honest and loving and safe and challenging people, and not to be easily offendable. That word grabbed me this morning. Just the Holy Spirit was like, don't be easily offendable. You know, throughout history, the most common thing that starts great moves of God on the earth? Holiness. Do you know what typically ends great moves of God on the earth? Offense. I'm serious. Now, you can think of some examples where that wasn't the case, and I could say, yep, you're right. I'm just talking from a majority kind of thing here. I have watched great moves of God in my life, ended, when people were offended with each other because they didn't like the way something was done, their knowledge was better than the guy who did that or whatever, and then suddenly the offense builds wedges, the wedges build segregation of thought, and pretty soon people are shredding their relationships apart for the sake of being right. Right? And we could easily get into that if we start talking about holiness in each other's life. Because, man, when someone starts talking about what they think is holy, and if that doesn't agree with what you think is holy, and if their level of commitment or conviction doesn't match or line up with yours, it's very easy for offense, right? If we open up our homes to each other, we start letting each other in to actually see what our homes are like and what our family rhythms are like, we could begin to become offended with each other. Right? The way you run your family, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Right? I go over Stu's and his kids are eating like carrots and celery. I'm like, what the heck? How do you do that? How do you train your monkeys? Yeah, and then he said to me, if you starve them long enough. No, just kidding. He didn't say that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we invite each other into our homes, and there's like instant conviction and opportunity in the conviction if we're not surrendered to Christ to be offended at each other. And someone like Stu could walk into my house and be like, you give your kids that? You let them eat that? Right? And it's just easy. And then you just take that concept and now blow it up to all kinds of things. Right? We look at each other's inventory and we're like, yeah, you don't measure up on this way. And how dare you talk to me about that? And you don't even know because you're already struggling over here. And if you really knew what you wouldn't be struggling there to be able to talk to me about this. It'd be like divisive and broken. And right? Yeah. So we see the Bible talks about make allowances for each other's faults. That doesn't mean excuse sin. It just means make allowance for faults. Right? It is. Okay, man? Oh, man. I'm sorry. Lord, I ask that you touch him in Jesus' name. I want to show you Psalms 103. I think it's probably close to the end. Thanks. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry. He's filled with unfailing love. We want to be like that to each other, don't we? He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. If you're feeling accused constantly, that's the accuser of the brother. That's not him. He does not punish us for all our sins. Did you catch that? Right? Yeah. And we like approach him like he's a big punisher all the time. And like, can we like allow our thoughts to become congruent and equivalent with the God of grace and mercy who doesn't punish us for everything? Amen. He doesn't deal harshly with us as we deserve. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. How high is that? That's high, right? He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. How far is that? The Lord is like a father to his children, tender, compassionate to those who fear him. He knows how weak we are, and he remembers we are only dust. So even in the time where he's dealing with our sin, he still remembers we're weak. Do you understand that? Like, I don't expect my 4-year-old to be able to do what my 14-year-old can do as far as workloads and, right? And if I did, that'd be weird. We understand there's right? He looks at us, he understands how weak we are. And he understands like maybe, you know, maybe Casey is dealing with something because of his background and brokenness that I don't deal with. Well, vice versa. Maybe I'm dealing with something in my past and brokenness and Casey's not, right? He understands where we're weak and how we're weak, and he's merciful, and he's going to deal with us each in our weakness in our own way. Right? And if I try to go do something just because I see, well, Casey's able to do that, and that justifies my ability to kind of start doing what he's doing, that's opposite, right? That's like, that's using grace to go the opposite direction from holiness, right? And same with you, so just don't copy me in the bad stuff. right? Check. Check that box. But understand that the grace of God was not meant to just sit in sin and fall back into grace and use that as a way to hold us up and prop us up over a lifetime, right? The grace of God was meant to give us a starting point to then launch and build. The grace of God has come and it teaches us, right? You familiar with that? It's the starting point to building to be to Christ-likeness. Are you feeling encouraged in this or are you feeling discouraged and hopeless? Encouraged? Okay, I just want to be sure. He doesn't deal harshly. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He's unfailing in his love for us. His love is without limit. It's unfathomable. He's redeemed us. He's removed sins. He's tender. He's compassionate. He knows we're weak. And he acts accordingly, right? Now, who wouldn't surrender to a God like that? What has two thumbs? This guy. Right? Like, why do we humans just continue to struggle? I think the reason I want to just keep speaking about this over the next couple weeks is because I want us to be so convinced that it's okay to truly surrender the stuff that we're holding on to, truly surrender the stuff that we're addicted to, truly surrender the stuff that we find comfort in, truly just let it go and see what happens. Hi, you missed the good parts. Oh, nothing. We were speaking about holiness, and I prayed for an example, and poof, there you can. All right, here's the reality, and then I'm winding up. By the way, did anybody see? It was so gross. I bent over to grab Kleenex while we were worshiping, and a big bleh came out of my face. I'm asking because I'm mortified. I'm thinking about taking the video down. Yeah. And then it occurred to me. I understand where the river of life came from. you saw.
Can't stand that.
So, is that how you want to relate to other people in the body?
No.
Somebody says, "I do something," and say, "Oh my golly, how dare you!"
Right.
So you deliver the offense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think I would hope that we would begin to monitor the words coming out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. Did I actually say something that was what somebody else should be doing, and I should really zip my lip? Mm-hmm. So I would appeal to us to not offend each other. It makes it a lot easier to make people not be offended.
Yes.
Well, it only happens once in a while.
Yes, yep.
But if it happens every day.
Sure. And you don't always have to zip your lip, but this is a great part, like blasting someone because you don't, like you feel superior to their issue that they're struggling with, right? So our friend April, she doesn't zip her lip. I mean, I sometimes tell jokes that are probably not for the best. And she actually says, you know what, Daryl, I bless you not to feel like you have to have a fun joke all the time to fill in void places. Ooh. Okay. Right? And it wasn't like, I don't take that like a pounding. I took that as a challenge. Like, oh, you're right. I receive the blessing, you know? So we can love each other and speak the truth in love. That's why the Bible says to do it, right? And to Pete's point, like sometimes if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. But then grow up and start having something nice to say is part B of that outline. Right? Cool. This is where we are going. The surrendered life, the life that has been refined and made holy, is going to increase our capacity for the glory of God on a long-term lifestyle, okay? Part of the reason why the church is weak and powerless in so many ways and why we don't have the respect of the world is because we haven't surrendered to him and we're carrying too much darkness within us. And they look at us and they hear, we think we're the light of the world, but the way we act, the way we live, the decisions we make are not in alignment with our words. And so we have no power, no glory, just talk. Yes. Sure.
We're going through the same stuff that they're going through, but we have an answer to get out of that.
Yes.
Right? So I think when non-Christians look at Christians, we want to have an image that we're striving for God's perfection and holiness, but also relate to them and say, it's not easy just to flip a switch and become perfect. It takes time, and I'm right here with you while you're going. I have an answer that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have the truth that I'm going to help you find.
Sure. Right? Amen. Amen. Yeah, we can't portray that we're perfect if we're not, right? We have to be vulnerable and honest, and that's why there's grace. But at that same time, a lot of times, like I said, the church has been justifying sin, hiding sin, living in darkness, pretending to be light. It's pretending is pretending. Yes.
Well, we all have the Holy Spirit in us.
Yes. Amen.
So as we come before other people and we hear things, certain things that we don't like, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to love them just like Jesus loved us when we were, fallen. And we were short of our lives. So mainly we just need to focus here, the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that's the key.
Amen. We're going to talk on that next week. Very cool. Good job. Could we put the prayer topics up? The first one, and relates to that last thing I said, was build our capacity to carry your glory and steward your power for greater impact, right? When he said he wants us to abound more and more, that's what we're talking about here. Surrendering to the one who wants to abound more and more through you. When we pray for revival or when we pray for an outpouring of his Spirit, do we stop and think that he wants to start in us? Or do we want someone else on this earth to do it? Nobody gave me any indication that they were listening. When we ask for God to pour himself out on this earth, and you know, move in the nations, do we expect that he wants to start in us? No. Good answer. At least I got an answer, right? So this is our prayer. Lord, start in us. Build our capacity. That means refine us. That means take us through your weight training process. That means do whatever you want to do. It makes me happy to know that you're having the time of your life in me. Do it, God. Right? Number two, thank you for choosing me before the creation to be holy and set apart solely and intimately before you. I choose to walk with you through this process. You know, you were called to this, so there's no use resisting it. Right? It's better to just go ahead and walk down the aisle with him than to have the caveman drag you by the hair. Right? But this marriage is final, and he's not taking no for an answer. He loves you, and he's decided you're here for the long haul, you know? Right? And then the third one is, whatever it takes, make me your special and glorious inheritance. This part of this prayer is, God, I want to give you, as an act of worship, the best version of myself that makes you thrilled. Right? And I don't mean to say his happiness is contingent upon us. He doesn't lean upon us for happiness, right? But at the same time, if we can give him some joy, I want to give it.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Does anyone feel led to open up that prayer? Maybe pray one of those points as a group. Just be led of the Holy Spirit. Nice. Yeah, and then you can do the next one. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We are so thankful for your Spirit, that it's with us, that you are with us, that you can speak to us and guide us, Lord. I pray that you would take your chisel to us, refine us, and chisel off the things that aren't of you, the things that don't reflect your goodness and your love. Chisel those things away, take them away, and just burn them. Lord, purify our bodies, our minds. Help us to be more like your Son and to live and act like him, that we would be a shining light to those around us. Lord, strengthen us in our daily walks. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, Lord, we just agree. Thank you that holiness is your idea. It's not just us trying to get better on our own. But from the beginning of the world, you've said, you know, this is your best life is when you live holy. And thank you that it's not only an idea, but Lord, you give us the power that we need. And even as Daryl preached, Lord, we just receive the grace of Jesus Christ, just not only forgiveness, not only favor that we don't deserve, but just afresh today as a body, we receive fresh grace to do your will, fresh power to obey and to do so in joy. Lord, thank you, Lord. You said that if we love you, we'll keep your commandments. And so that's our heart's desire as River of Life today, is to love you by keeping your commandments. But also, we want to keep your commandments in love, just in growing love for Jesus, our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we do want power. Lord, we're sad that the church today lacks a lot of authority because of all the things that Daryl has said, because we're not walking in holiness, because we don't have the fear of the Lord. And so we just ask afresh, Lord, do a fresh work of the fear of the Lord, fresh work of just desire for you, Lord, so we can walk in authority, we can point this world to Christ. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just submit to you again. We surrender to you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Who else? Hey. Oh, I didn't know if you waited. Did anybody else raise their hand? Feel the light of the Lord is. Yeah. It's a family thing. We're going to walk this out together, guys.
Thank you, Lord, for the things that you do in my life and others around us. Lord, anything that we do, Lord, you know, we glorify you in everything we do. And I know that certain things that we struggle with and we hold on to. But Lord, when we do these things, I always think about, all right, we do it onto you, anything we do. And I know that I'm reminded every day that things that I don't like, but you remind me of how much you love me. So I want to love you more and more. And anything I do, I want to glorify you and lift it up to you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, God.
Dad, we just thank you that you did choose us before time. Lord, that you choose us every day, every instant of every day. You are choosing to be in our lives, to be intimate with us, Lord. Lord, that we would choose the same. We would recognize how good that is, what a good life that is, Lord. Lord, that we would choose that as you choose us every moment of every day, that we would do the same.
Yeah. Yeah, so if God, we just tell you that if there is a fire that you want to burn within us and purify, then we're excited for that Lord, we're not going to run from purification in our life. We're not going to try to grab the steering wheel and jerk you in a different direction. Lord, we want to joyfully go into that process. So speak to us throughout the week, Lord, and meet us in conversation over those places that we might run to where we just need to be healed or touched, or we're just lacking and broken, Father. We recognize that you are the potter, we're the clay, and if you want to mold us to look like something that maybe we wouldn't even dream of looking like because it's not our preference, but it's yours, then God, that's what we want. We want to make you happy. So mold away, Father. Chisel away, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us to walk it out vulnerably and honestly with each other and leave room for grace, but at the same time, to speak truth and love. Just show us the right balance, God, so we're not destructive and harmful, and yet at the same time, we're not so withdrawn that we're not helpful. Make us family, God. Make us truly family, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if anybody would like prayer, could I lean on some elders for that? And at the same time, we asked some of the small group leaders if we could meet you in the side room just for 5-10 minutes. So we're asking for that. And then the drama team asked the rest of us go into the fellowship hall with our discussion so that they can begin preparing for Christmas drama. It's coming up real quick. Besides, you don't want any more drama in your life, do you? All right, cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. We love you. See you next week.